Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Older Militarist Radio. Yesterday we had a surprise show for you on who was really behind the annihilation of the Iraqi Christians. Sure, ISIS did their big part in everything. But the main group that is doing it are the Iraqi government themselves. So far, we haven't had any listens on the Blog Talk Radio show page, but we have had over 50 listeners so far on the Gloria Catholic website page where I upload all the radio programs. So 50 is pretty darn good. Now for all of you who listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, make sure you listen to that show, share it. The only true way to help our Christian brethren in Iraq is what we are doing in Older Militarist. And we can't raise any funds by non-profit donations for them. It has to be investments, as Brother Alexis explained yesterday. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Mass by St. Leonard of Port-Maurice, Chapter 1, Part 2. But before we do that, I want to congratulate our Brazilian listeners, and hopefully one of them is the newly elected president of Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro. Congratulate him on a massive victory. Every news outlet in the United States said, "I will find out about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time for us in the Central Time Zone." I was on Twitter about 6 p.m. and the race was already called for him. 2 hours early. That is how massive he won in Brazil. Have you ever heard of such a thing for a presidential election? To be called so early, so quick. You can congratulate him. Now we hope Brazil will become the pro-life country they were once before, under him once again. And best news out of all from Germany, Merkel is stepping down. And it's all thanks to you, my fellow Catholics in Bavaria. Just a huge defeat for Merkel. Made her step down. Well done. Well done to the Catholics of Bavaria. Now it's time to get the Conservative Party in there. Get this Socialist Democratic Christian Party out of power. Restore Germany. Help protect the people there. You guys have been through a lot. Well, that is the news for the day. Let's get on to talking about the Holy Mass, huh? Oh, and one last thing. Before we forget. It is the birthday of our South Carolina chapter founder, Jeff.
Happy birthday.
Now on to the show. But if the sorry, a little laugh right there. But if the intrinsic wonder and glory of the sacrifice move you not, be moved at least by the extreme necessity for existence. If there were no sun to shine on the world, what would it be? Well, all darkness, horror, barrenness, misery supreme. And if there were no Holy Mass in the world, oh unhappy race, we should then be vessels empty of every good and full of evil to the brim. We should be a mark for all the thunders of the wrath of God. I'm going to hold it right there for a second. And make the minds of all the scientists out there go a little bit berserk. Because St. Padre Pio once said, if the sun would no longer exist, the actual planet, you know, that heats us and helps us and everything, according to science, if the sun no longer existed, and some scientists are saying it could possibly no longer exist, don't know how. Don't know when. But if the sun no longer existed, but yet the Holy Mass still was said and celebrated, we would still survive. Let that sink in for a bit. Some are surprised at its really seeming as if since ancient times our good God had in some sort changed his mode of government. He then caused himself to be called a God of armies and of battles, and spoke to the people from the midst of clouds with lightnings in his hand. He then chastised sin with all rigor of justice. For one adultery there fell by the edge of the sword 25,000 of the tribe of Benjamin. For the pride of David in numbering the people, he sent a pestilence to malignant that quickly 70,000 persons were no more. For one curious and somewhat irreverent look, he overthrew in frightful slaughter more than 50,000 of the Bethlehemites. And now he will bear with patience not only vanities and frivolities and adulteries, the most base scandals, the most inquisitous, the blasphemies, the most revolting, vomited forth against his most holy name by many Christians every hour of the day. How comes this? Why so great a difference of government? Or perhaps are sins of ingratitude more excusable than those of old? Quite the contrary. They are very much more culpable, since there is an addition of benefit so immeasurable. The true reason of clemency so stupendous is the Holy Mass, in which is offered to the Eternal Father the great victim, Jesus. Behold the Son of Holy Church, that scatters the clouds and renders heaven again serene. Behold the heavenly rainbow pacifying the storms of divine justice. For myself, I believe that it were, and not for the Holy Mass, at the moment of this world would be in the abyss, unable to bear up under the mighty load of its iniquities. Mass is the potent prop that holds the world upon its base. Therefore, when we are assisting at it, we ought to practice that which once Alphonsus of Albuquerque did, who, finding himself with his fleet in danger of perishing during a fierce and terrific tempest, adopted the following means. He took in his arms an innocent little child, which was on board his ship, and lifting it up toward heaven, he said, "If we are sinners, this creature is certainly free from sin, O Lord. For love of this innocent, remit to us the death we deserve. And will you believe it?" The spectacle of that stainless babe was so pleasing to God that he tranquilized the sea and changed into joy for these unfortunate, the terror of death already imminent. Now, what do you believe is done by the Eternal Father when the priest, lifting in the air the thrice saved victim, shows to him the innocence of his divine Son? Ah, then his compassion cannot resist the sight of the most spotless innocence of Jesus, and he feels as if compelled to calm our storms and to provide for all our necessities. Thus, without the thrice holy victim, Jesus, first of all bloodily sacrificed for us upon the cross, and daily sins unbloodily upon our altars, it would be all at an end with us. Each might say to the other, "We part to meet in hell." Yes, in hell. But possessing this treasure of Holy Mass, hope breathes again. And if we but throw it not away by our own mismanagement, we have Holy Paradise within our grasp. Well, may we, therefore, kiss our altars, perfume them with incense and holy sweets, and what is more, honor them with the most utmost reverence and awe, since through them there comes so much good. And you, O priests, join your hands in thanksgiving to the Eternal Father for having placed you in the sweet necessity of often offering to him this victim of paradise. And still more, thank him for unbounded gain which you can gather from it, if you but be faithful, not only in offering it, but in offering it for the proper ends for which he bestowed a gift so precious. A sense of what is noble and virtuous does undoubtedly supply every powerful influence whereby to move the human heart, but a perception of what averts calamity or secures an advantage is generally still more powerful. So then the glory and the beauty of the holy sacrifice be of small importance in your eyes. How shall you fail to appreciate the vast gain it brings to both good and wicked, both during life and at the hour of death, nay, even after death itself? Imagine yourself to be the debtor in the gospel, who burdened him with the heavy debt of 10,000 talents, and summoned to account, humbled himself, pleading and beseeching time to fully to satisfy his obligations. Excuse me. Patientium hab in me et omina redem tibi. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Gospel of St. Matthew. Chapter 28, verse 26. The very same should you do, for you have not one but many debts with the bank of divine justice. You should humble yourself and solicit so much time as is needed for hearing Holy Mass, and be sure that thus it is possible for you most fully to satisfy for all. The angelic St. Thomas suggests that what these obligations are, which we all owe to God, seeing that they are especially four, and each of the four is infinite. The first is to praise and honor His infinite majesty, worthy of infinite honor, infinite praise. The second is to satisfy for so many sins committed against that infinite majesty. The third is to give, to thank Him for so many benefits received. And the fourth, to supplicate Him as the great giver of all graces. Now how shall we, wretched creatures, who are in a state of dependence for the very breath we draw, ever be able to fulfill obligations such as these? Behold the method, a method most sweet and easy, which should console you, and everyone. Let us take care to attend many masses, to attend with all devotion possible, and to cause them to be celebrated elsewhere as frequently as we can. Thus were our debts the most exorbitant, were they even literally innumerable. There is no room to doubt but that with the treasure we might be able most fully to pay them all. But in order that you may have a fuller perception of these your debts, we shall explain the four classes of them one by one, and you will then find no small consolation in viewing the inexhaustible means which you possess for their payment in the rich mine of the Holy Sacrifice. I don't know why. When I read about the Holy Mass, I cry. There we go. The first obligation by which we are bound toward God is to honor Him. It is indeed a precept of the natural law itself that every inferior owes homage to his superior, and by so much the higher the superiority, so much the deeper the homage that should be offered. Whence it results that as Almighty God possesses a greatness utterly unbounded, that is due to him unbounded honor. O wretched that we are, where shall we ever find an offering worthy of our Creator? Turn your eyes around among all the creatures of the universe. Get a drink here. No, you will not find one that is worthy of God. Ah, no. An offering worthy of God can be none other than God himself, and he who resides on the throne of his greatness. He it is that must needs ascend to lay himself a victim on our altars, in order that the homage rendered may perfectly correspond to the imminence of that infinite majesty. This it is which is effected in Holy Mass. In it, Almighty God is honored as he deserves, because he is honored by that God himself, that is to say, by Jesus, who, placing himself in character of victim on the altar, with an act of inexplicable submission, adores the Most Holy Trinity, even as it is adorable, in such manner that all other acts of homage by all other beings vanish before the face of this self-humiliation of Jesus, as stars before the sun. Alright, back to the where we go. It is told of a holy soul that, enamored of God, the fire of her charity flashed forth in 1,000 longings. O my God, she said, my God, would that I had as many hearts, as many tongues as there are leaves on the trees, atoms of the air. Okay then. Never heard that before. Drops in the waters, that I might so love thee, and so honor thee, as thou deservest. Oh, had I but in this hand, all creatures, I would place them at thy feet, so that all might melt themselves away in love before thee. And then, that I might love thee more than all of them united. Yes, more than all the angels, more than all the saints, more than all paradise itself. One day when she had done this with the utmost fervor, she heard herself thus answered by our Lord, "Console thyself, my daughter, by one mass heard with devotion thou wilt render to me all that glory which thou desirest, and infinitely more." You wonder perhaps at this, but you are wrong. For our good Jesus, being not only man, but omnipotent God, by humiliating himself on the altar, offers in the act of humiliation to the Most Holy Trinity homage and honor infinite, so that we who join with him in offering the great sacrifice attain, yes, even we through him, to the privilege of rendering an infinite homage and honor unto God. Oh, how great a thought. Let us repeat it once again, since it so much imports us to know it. We, yes, even we, by attending Holy Mass, may render to God homage and honor infinite. Be now confounded for very wonder. Reflecting that the propositions just laid down is indeed most true, a soul assisting with adequate devotion at Holy Mass renders more honor to God than that which all the angels and all the saints put together render with all their adorations. For after all, they also are but mere creatures, and their homage is therefore limited and finite. Where in the Mass, Jesus humbles himself, a humiliation of infinite merit and value. And thus the homage and honor which we, through him, give to God in Mass is a homage and honor infinite, and oh, what blessedness if it is really so, that through a devout hearing of Mass, this our obligation is fulfilled. O blinded world, when will you open your eyes to understand truths which so much concern you, and you have yet the heart to say, a Mass more or less matters little? Or mournful, dreadful blindness. Let's take a moment to allow that to sink in and to reflect. Down 31 minutes to go. I'm halfway through this second part. And we're only through the first obligation. Wow. Second part super long. Alright, hopefully we get through the second part today so we can either do another Gatestone Institute story or part 3 tomorrow. The second obligation by which we are bound towards God is to satisfy His justice for the commission of so many sins. Oh, what a measureless debt is this. One single mortal sin so weighs in the scales of divine justice that to satisfy for it all the good works of all the martyrs and all of all the saints who as yet have existed, who exist now, or ever shall exist, would not suffice. And yet, with the holy sacrifice of the Mass, viewed according to its intrinsic... not a good day to be a radio host. Can't speak. Intrinsic preciousness and value. Satisfaction may be completely made all for all committed sin, and that you may understand how much you are thus obliged to Jesus. Attend to what I now say. Although truly he is the very party offended, yet not contented with having satisfied divine justice for us on Calvary. Yes, bestowed and doth continually bestow on us this method of satisfaction in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For as there is renewed in Mass, the offering which Jesus has already made on the cross to the Eternal Father for the sins of the whole world, that same divine blood which was once paid down as the general ransom of the whole human race, comes to be specially applied to each of us individually by being offered in Mass for the sins of him who celebrates and of all those who assist at so tremendous a sacrifice. Not that the sacrifice of Mass by any means cancels our sins immediately in of itself, as does the sacrament of penance, but it cancels them immediately, calling down various aids of interior impulse, of holy aspiration, and of actual grace, all tending toward a worthy repentance of our sins, either at the time of Mass itself or at some other fitting time. Hold it right there and give some thoughts. We've all had this done. You're attending Mass with great devotion. You prepared well. I mean, you are totally focused at the sacrifice happening before our eyes. Then something makes you look around. But then you try to fight it, get your focus back on Jesus. And again, something makes you peer, just look around, like, what's going on? Why is this going on? What's making me look around? Then you're off focus. You're no longer praying. You're distracted. That's where we go from the first part of chapter 1, where he talked about the curse of God. For those who do not give their absolute attention and devotion to the holiest sacrifice of the Mass, and for those who dress immodestly, causing men, women, most of all children, to be tempted and sin. By a glance, by a thought, by a feeling in the heart. This is what Saint Leonard is talking about. In the second obligation. I put yesterday on Twitter, I can't, since I'm homebound and ill, and whenever, if I can't go physically, the Holy Mass. I usually watch Mass on EWT. But with him fully supporting Jorge Bergoglio and the fake synod on youth, I would not watch them or attend Mass by just watching. So I went to the Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter's Apostolate Live Mass website and returned to my online parish of the Christ the King Parish of Sarasota, Florida. I used to watch that daily before they had trouble. With their cameras and storms and everything. Now it's back up and running perfectly. That was so beautiful. They had Holy Mass plus benediction and adoration. It was amazing. So if you can't attend Mass for some reason because you're ill, and you can't leave the house because your illness might make others sick, or you're homebound and you want a really good Mass to watch or attend, you're watching but you're attending through prayer, type in Live Mass FSSP. It should bring you to the Live Mass website on the search engines. And you can click the towns they have it in and watch their encore masses. Or if you know the parishes, you can go to the parish websites and get their schedule of the masses and click the live link and wait for the video to wait for the cameras to start up. There you can attend live daily Latin masses. Let's continue on the second obligation. Therefore, God alone knows how many souls issue from the filth of sins through the extraordinary aids which come to them by the divine sacrifice. And he reflects that although indeed the man is in mortal sin, and is not aided by the sacrifice as appropriation, it yet avails all supplication, and therefore all sinners ought to hear many masses in order to obtain more easily the grace of conversion. I was going with what I just said. If you can't get to Mass because you're homebound, or the Mass has been canceled because of weather, and you don't want to watch Mass on EWT because they'll praise Bergoglio and the horrible homosexual synod on the youth, type in the search engine FSSP Live Mass website, and it'll come up to it. There you can watch live daily Mass. And if you if you type in Christ the King Parish, Sarasota, Florida, It'll bring you to their parish website. And there they should have the schedule up for Halloween and All Saints Day. On Halloween, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I have never seen it before. But the actual Requiem Mass, full Requiem Mass, sung on Halloween night. I would urge you to watch it and attend it by prayer. I hear that is one of the most moving, beautiful masses ever. To souls that live in grace, it gives a wonderful force, tending to maintain them in their happy state. While it immediately cancels according to the most common view, the guilt of all venial sins provided, at least that as a whole, they are repented of, according to what St. Augustine clearly says. Si quis devote audit missum, non incidit in peccatatum mortale, et veniali rementitor e. He who devoutly hears Holy Mass will receive a great vigor to enable him to resist mortal sin, and there shall be pardoned to him all venial sins which he may have committed up to that hour. Let's hear that again. Because this is not taught, folks, anymore. I'll skip the Latin for you. He who devoutly hears Holy Mass will receive a great vigor to enable him to resist mortal sin, and there shall be pardoned to him all venial sins which he may have committed up to that hour. That is St. Augustine of Hippo, Church Father and Doctor of the Church. Nor should this surprise, for if, as St. Pope Gregory the Great narrates, the masses which a poor woman caused to be celebrated every Monday for the soul of her husband, who had been enslaved by barbarians and was thought by her to be dead, caused the chains to be loosened from his feet and the manacles from his arms, so that ever while these masses were being celebrated, he remained free and unchained, as he himself declared on his return. How much more must not we believe such a sacrifice to be most efficacious for the loosening of spiritual bonds, such as venial sins, bonds which hold the soul, as it were, in prison, leaving it no power to work with that freedom and fervor with which it would, were it not for these impediments. O blessed Mass, setting at liberty the sons of God, and satisfying all the penalties due to so many offenses. You will perhaps say to me, this suffices then to hear one single Mass, to strike off the heaviest debts due to God through many committed sins, because Mass being infinite value, we can therewith pay to God an infinite satisfaction. Not so fast. By your leave, because though indeed Mass is of infinite value, you must know nevertheless that Almighty God accepts in some manner limited and finite, and his decrees comfortable to the greater or less perfection in the dispositions of him who celebrates or who assists at the sacrifice. Quo orium tibi fidis cognata. Sorry. Demonize work. Cognata. Est and nota devotio. Says Holy Church in the Canon of the Mass. Suggesting by this method of speech that which the great teachers expressly laid down, namely that the greater or less satisfaction applied in our behalf by the sacrifice becomes determined by the higher or lower dispositions of the celebrant or of those assistants I just now mentioned. Now then consider the spiritual bewilderment of those who go in search of the quickest and least devoutly conducted masses, and what is worse, assist at them with little or no devotion, nor having any zeal in causing them to be celebrated, or in selecting with that view the more fervent and devout of the priesthood. Oh, how many times have we, wherever you are, have attended a Mass where it only took 30 minutes or even less, I've been at Masses where it only took 20 minutes. It was like a cattle auctioneer rambling through. You didn't hear nothing, and you didn't understand nothing. And how do these folks become priests? Well, if you're paying attention to the ongoing scandals in Holy Mother Church and everything Church Militant is reporting, it had nothing to do with the love of God. It had nothing to do with the love of Holy Mother Church. It all had to do with power, money, and sex. And I thank President Donald Trump and the DOJ for going after every single bishop in the United States and beginning the RICO investigation to begin cleaning house . May the prayers of our Blessed Mother that Melania Trump asks for day after day help and strengthen this investigation and finally crush the head of the evil one doing this. Let us join with our first Catholic lady praying to our Blessed Mother for the salvation of the Church. Well, for the restoration of the Church and the removal of all these heretics and sexual predators. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. May with our prayers united with our First Lady, who is Catholic, help President Donald Trump become Catholic. With his strength and money, and whenever he becomes Catholic, watch out. Because once he's reunited with the Church, finally, with the help of the prayers of his wife, and if he can make America Catholic, man, that'd be great. I'm just hoping. Praying. You know. Hey, guy can dream, can he? Alright, back to the book. It is true, according to St. Thomas, that all the sacrifices are, as sacraments, equal in rank, but they are not, therefore, equal in the effects resulting from them. Whence the greater the actual or habitual piety of the celebrant, so much greater will be the fruit of the application of the Mass. So that, excuse me, so that not to recognize the difference between a tepid and devout priest in respect to the efficacy of the Mass, of his Mass, will be simply not to heed whether the net with which you fish be small or great. Emphasis added here and below. See where we can get the sucker. The same reasoning applies in regards to those attending Mass. And truly, while I exhort you, to the best of my knowledge and power, to attend many Masses, and truly, while... Alright, eyes focused, come on. Sorry for the added commentary. And truly, while I exhort you, do the best of my knowledge and power, to attend many Masses, I yet admonish you to have far more regard to devotion and hearing than to the number heard. Because if you shall have more devotion in one single Mass than another man in 50, you will give more honor to God in that single Mass, and you will extract from it greater fruit. The way called ex opere operato, than that other with all his 50s. In satisfactione, magna, says St. Thomas, magis attendetur, affectus offerentis, quam quantiatis oblationis. It is true indeed, as the grave author asserts, that through one single Mass attended with singularly perfect devotion, it might possibly happen that the justice of God remained satisfied for all the other transgressions. of some great sinner. And this is quite in harmony with what the Holy Council of Trent teaches, namely that by the offering of this holy sacrifice, God grants the gift of penitence, and then by the means of true penitence pardons sins, the most grave and enormous. Eius, quid pipe, oblatione, gratiam et donum, patien intentiae, concitizens, crimiana, et peccata etiam, indignitia dimittit. Session 22, Cap 2. Yet notwithstanding all of this, since neither the internal dispositions which you attend Mass are manifest to yourself, nor the amount of satisfaction which corresponds thereto, you should make sure to the best of your power, by attending many Masses and by attending with all devotion possible, blessed are you if you maintain in the loving mercy of God, which shines so wonderfully forth in this divine sacrifice, and with lively faith and devout recollection, attend as many Masses as you can, for I declare that doing this with perseverance, you may attain to sweet hope of reaching heaven without any intervening share in purgatory. To Mass, then, dearest friends, never allow yourself to utter the thought, a Mass more or less is of little consequence. See how we're doing on time here. Oh yeah, we got plenty of time. Got an hour. More tea here. Now on to the third obligation. Is that of gratitude for the immense benefits which our most loving God has bestowed upon us. Put in one heap all the gifts, all the graces you have received from God. So many gifts of nature and of grace, body, soul, senses, and faculties, and health, and life itself, yes, the very life, too, of His Son Jesus, and His death suffered for us, which in themselves immeasurably swell the great debt which we owe to God, and how shall we ever be able to sufficiently to thank Him? On the one hand, the law of gratitude is observed by the very beasts who sometimes change their cruel anger into gentle homage to the benefactors. And how much more, of course, has it not to be observed by man, gifted as he is with reason, and so nobly endowed by the divine liberality. But on the other hand, our poverty is so great that there is no way of truly making any return for all the blessings of God, because the least of them all, coming as it does from the hands of Majesty so divine, and accompanied as it is by an infinite love on His part, thus acquires an infinite value and lays us under a debt of infinite correspondence in the way of reverence and love. O poor, miserable things that we are! If you are incapable of sustaining the weight of one single benefit, how shall we ever be able to bear the burden of so many, so countless many? Then here we are, placed in the hard necessity of living and dying, as it were ungrateful to our supreme benefactor. But no, take heart, the way most fully to thank our good God is taught us by holy David. who, led by divine inspiration to speak with mysterious reference to this divine sacrifice, indicates that nothing can sufficiently render the thanks which are due to God except Holy Mass, quid retribuum domino pro omnibus, quae retribuit mihi. What return shall I offer to the Lord for all the benefits which he has bestowed upon me? And answering himself, he says, Calcirum salutaris accipiam. According to another version, calcium levabo. I will uplift on high the chalice of the Lord. That is, I will offer a sacrifice most grateful to him. And with this alone I shall satisfy the debt of so many such signal benefits. Add to this that the sacrifice was instituted by our Redeemer, principally in recognition of the divine beneficence. It has thanks to him, and therefore it bears as its most special and worthy name, the Eucharist, which signifies an offering of thanks. He himself also gave us the example in the Last Supper before the act of consecration. In the first Mass, he raised his eyes to heaven and gave thanks to his Heavenly Father. Zavatus oculos in chalum. Tibi gratias agens frigit. With divine thanksgiving, disclosing the chief end for which was instituted this tremendous sacrifice, which invites us to conform ourselves to the example of our head, so that in every Mass at which we assist, we may know how to avail ourselves of so great a treasure and offer it in gratitude to our Supreme Benefactor. And all the more since the Beloved Virgin and the angels and the saints rejoice to witness this, our tribute of thanks to so great a King. The life of Venerable Sister Francesca Farnese was at one time troubled by a thousand anxieties of heavenly love. She mourned to see herself covered from head to foot with divine benefits, and yet unable to prove an act of the gratitude she felt. But making to her Lord any competent return, behold, one day there is said to have appeared to her the Most Holy Virgin, who put into her arms her heavenly babe. Take him, she said, for he is yours, and because with him alone you will fulfill all your duties. Wow. Let's see. There's not too many saints. Who are allowing such a thing. It was this Blessed Francisca, Saint Anthony of Padua, Saint Therese of Lisieux, and Blessed John Duns Scotus on Christmas night in Oxford in his cell. He was studying and preparing for one of his lessons. And our Blessed Mother and child Jesus was there. Alright. Just had to share that. O blessed Mass, by which we come to have the Son of God placed not only within our arms, but in our hearts. Parvulus, datus est nobis. Nor is there a doubt but that with him and in him alone we shall be able to satisfy the debt of gratitude which we have contracted with God. We almost seem in Mass to render to God more than he has given to us. Not in reality, of course, but in appearance. Since once only has the Eternal Father given to us his Divine Son in his incarnation, while we give him back to him again innumerable times in this holy sacrifice. Thus we seem to have the advantage not in the quality of gifts, it being impossible for a greater to be given the Son of God, but apparently by the repetition so many times that the self same gift truly he gives it to us each time for us to offer back again. But at any rate, there it is, an infinite offering on our part, offered many times. O great God, O most loving God, O for the tongues infinite in number and power, to give thee infinite thanks for so great a treasure, if rendered in time past and has lain hidden from you. Now that you begin to know it, can you fail to exclaim, Oh, the treasure bestowed upon me, how great thou art. But the immense benefit of the holy sacrifice of the Mass does not end here. It is in our power by means of it to pay the fourth debt due to God, which is to supplicate him, and to entreat new graces of him. Try to realize to yourself how great are your miseries, both of body and of soul, and the need therefore in which you are of having recourse to God, in order that at every moment he may assist and secure you. For surely he alone is the end and beginning of all your good, whether temporal or eternal. On the other hand, what courage, what heart have you for asking new benefits, seeing the utter ingratitude with which you have failed to respond to so many favors already bestowed on you? Nay, seeing you have even turned into offenses against him, the very graces he gave you. But still take courage, take heart. If you do not deserve new benefits, your good Jesus has deserved them for you. He desired for this end to be for you in Mass, a pacifying victim, a supplicatory sacrifice, for obtaining from the Father everything of which you have need. Yes, yes. And Holy Mass, our dear beloved Jesus, as the chief and supreme priest, recommends our cause to the Father, prays for us, and makes himself our advocate. If we knew on some occasion that the great and blessed Virgin was uniting herself with us in prayer to the Eternal Father to obtain for us the graces we desired, what confidence should we not conceive of being heard? What hope, then, what confidence should we not have, knowing that in Mass Jesus himself prays for us, offers his most precious blood to the Eternal Father for us, and makes himself our advocate. O blessed Mass, O mine of all our good. Alright. But let us dig farther into the depths of this mine, in order to discover more of the vast treasures contained in it. Oh, what precious gems lie there! What graces, virtues, and gifts of Holy Mass calls down! In the first place, it calls down all spiritual graces, all the good appertaining to the soul, as repentance for sins and victory over temptations. Whether such result from external trials as bad companions and infernal spirits, or internal as, for instance, those arising from rebellious appetites, it calls down the aid of grace so necessary for enabling us to rise up, to stand upon their feet, to walk forward in the ways of God. It calls down many good and holy inspirations, and many eternal impulses, which dispose us to shake off tepidity, and spurs us on to work our best with greater fervor, with more prompt, with intention more upright and pure, and these again bring with them an inestimable treasure. Being the most effectual means for obtaining from God the grace of final perseverance, on which depends our eternal salvation, and the grace of as much moral certainty of eternal bliss as is ever permitted here below, but further still, it calls down temporal blessings, so far as these may not oppose the salvation of the soul, such as health, abundance, peace, with the exclusion of the evils, which are their opposites, such as pestilence, earthquakes, wars, famines, persecutions, hatreds, calumnies, injuries. In fine, here may we find liberation from all evils. Here may we find enrichment by every sort of benefit. In word, Holy Mass is the golden key of paradise. And while the Eternal Father gives us this key, which all his other benefits can, he refuse. Qui proprio suo filii non percet, says St. Paul, sed pro nobis omnis charidit ilium quo modo non etiam cum ilio omina nobis donavit. He thus spared not even his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How has he not also with him given us all things? Letters to the Romans. Chapter 8, verse 32. Now was not that good priest quite right? He used to say that whatever he asked of God, even the loftiest height of grace for himself or others, all celebrating Holy Mass, he seemed to himself to be asking, nothing in comparison with the offering which he was engaged in making to him. He reasoned thus, all the favors which I ask of God in Mass are finite, whereas the gift which I offer to him is uncreated and infinite. And so on account, being rightly summed, I am the creditor, the debtor. The good priest by no means proposed to deny that the power of offering the gift, and the gift itself, came first from God. But putting it thus, he courageously besought graces and received yet greater in you. Why do you not also awake? Why not demand great graces? Take my advice, and in every Mass, ask God to make you a great saint. Does it seem too much? It is not too much. Is it not our good Master who protests in the Holy Gospel? That for a cup of cold water give out of love of Him, you will return. He will in return give paradise. How then, while offering to God the blood of His most blessed Son, should He not give you 100 heavens? Were there so many? How can you doubt but that He wishes to give you all the virtues and all the perfections which are required to make you a saint and a great saint in heaven? O blessed Mass, expand yet more and more your heart and ask great things of Him with the reflection that you ask of God, who does not grow poor by giving, and therefore the more you petition for, the more you will obtain. Last paragraph. But will you believe it? Besides the benefits which we ask in Holy Mass, our good God grants many others which we do not ask. St. Jerome distinctly declares, Absque dubio, dat nobis dominus, quod in missa petimus, et quod magis est sapiae, dat quod non petimus. Without doubt, says the saint, the Lord grants all the favors which are asked of Him in Mass, provided they be those fitting for us, and which is a matter of greater wonder. Oftentimes He grants that also which is not demanded of Him. If we, on our part, put no obstacle in the way, whence it may be said that the Mass is the sun of the human race, scattering as splendors over good and wicked. Nor is there a soul so vile on earth who, hearing Holy Mass, does not carry away from it some great good, often without asking, often without even thinking of it. This is the lesson conveyed by the famous legend told by St. Antoninus of two youths, both libertines, who went one day into the forest, one of them having heard Mass, the other not. Soon, it is said, there arose a furious tempest. They heard amidst thunder and lightning a voice which cried, Stay! And instantly came a flash which reduced to ashes the one who had not heard Mass. The other, all terrified, was seeking escape. When he heard anew the same voice which repeated, Stay! The poor youth expected instant death, when lo, he heard another voice which answered, I cannot today, he heard, Verbum caro factum est. His Mass will not let me strike. Oh, how many times has God freed you from death, or at least from many most grievous perils? Who the Mass which you have attended? St. Gregory assures us of this in his fourth dialogue for Adionium, Misse homo liberator a multas, malus et perculus. It is most true, says the holy doctor, that he who attends Holy Mass shall be freed from many evils, and many dangers, both foreseen and unforeseen. He shall, as St. Augustine sums it up, be freed from sudden death, which is the most terrible stroke launched by divine justice against sinners. Qui missum devote aderit subitan ina, morte non perbit. Behold a wonderful preservative, says the saint, against sudden death. Attend Holy Mass every day, and attend it with all possible devotion. He who carries with him so effective a guard shall live secure against the occurrence of so terrific a misfortune. There has even existed a current popular opinion, attributed by some to St. Augustine, that during the time of Mass, the human frame grows no older, but is maintained all the time in the same essential vigor in which it was at the commencement. I do not care to know whether this be true or not, but at any rate, this I say, that if he who attends Mass grows older in respect of bodily age, the lapse of time during Mass leaves him at least no older in sin than he was, because as St. Gregory says, one who attends Holy Mass with real devotion keeps in the direct way of the Spirit. Justus ardens missum in via rectitudinis conservator. Grace and merit are all the while increasing in him, and he makes ever new acquisitions of virtue, so as more and more to please his God. St. Bernard even sums it up thus, that more is to be gained in one single Mass. Here we must understand him of its intrinsic value, than by distributing your means to the poor, or going on pilgrimage through all the most famous sanctuaries of the world. Adiens devote missum, or celebrant motu magnus meritor, quam si sapientium, so pauperibus erogaret, et totum terum peregrinando transeret. Undoubted riches of Holy Mass grasp well this truth. It is possible for you to gain more favor with God by attending or celebrating one single Mass. Consider in itself and in the intrinsic worth, than by opening the treasury of your wealth and distributing the whole to the poor, or by going as pilgrim over the whole world, visiting utmost devotion the sanctuaries of Rome, of Compostela, of Loretto, Jerusalem, and the rest. This most reasonably follows from the position laid down by the angelic St. Thomas, when he says that in Mass are contained all the fruits, all the graces, yea, all those immense treasures which the Son of God pours out so abundantly upon the Church, his spouse, in the bloody sacrifice of the cross. Inquilibit missa inventur omnes fructus utilitas quam Christus in de parasivis operatus est in cruce. And that, my dear listeners, is the end of chapter 1, part 2. I think since Gatestone has done another important report, tomorrow will be a Gatestone Institute show. And the report is on the European Commission Court defending and instituting Sharia law. So stay tuned for that for tomorrow. This is Old Militaris Radio, signing off. Deus Vult.